Welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen. Gentlemen, ladies, this is Stephen Edward Robert Strusinski. My wife hates it when I say that. Boomer's to my left. He's the fishing pro. He's the man. Not quite a pro, but he's the man in the show who knows everything about everything. And Mark Lukey, what do you got to say, Mark, right off the bat?
You have two middle names.
Edward Robert. I'm Catholic, man.
That's weird.
One's my baptism name and one is my confirmation name. And I named my confirmation name is Robert because I named I get to choose my confirmation name. When you're Catholic, you can choose your confirmation name. And I chose Robert because at that time, Robert was my favorite brother, and he was studying to be a priest. And before he was, no, I got to be careful here. But no, Robert was my favorite brother. And so Stephen Edward Roberts, how many names you got? Just two or three?
Like a normal person, I have one middle name.
I have one middle name, Stu.
You're not Catholic. You're never going to go to purgatory.
Not
you're not going to go to
you
purgatory.
Know, every show, Producer Mark, welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen, the land of 10,000 lakes.
That's Boomer.
Driving home from the cabin, enjoying the sunshine. We had a pretty good weekend, Mark, and you always have a little bit of a history lesson with Stru, don't you, on the show?
Yeah, you learn all sorts of stuff.
Just a little bit of tidbit about the wild card. Two middle names. Did not know that crazy fact.
Should I tell you one of my favorite jokes, the Catholic jokes? I got a whole lot of Catholic.
Let's hear it.
As long as they're PG.
No, this is clean.
PG-13.
This is clean, okay? Young priest becomes a priest, and after, I don't know, 6-7 years of going to school to become a priest, he's going to do his first sermon. You know all these jokes, Mark. You've known me long enough. And he's scared to death doing his first sermon. He talks to the old priest. The old priest says, take it easy. I know it's scary the first couple of times, but do what I did the first few times. Have a little sip of brandy before you do the sermon, and you're going to be fine, just to take the edge off. So the young man does what he thinks he's supposed to do. He does his sermon, and the old man is behind in the back of the church, and he watches the whole sermon. After church is done, the young man says, Father, how'd I do? And the old man says, I'll tell you what, there's 10 commandments, not 12, and there's 12 apostles, not 10. And I'll tell you what, this Sunday, there's a taffy pulling party at St. Peter's. Not a Peter pulling party at St. Taffy's. Watch how much brandy you drink.
Wild
be
cut.
Careful how much brandy you drink. Hey, that's the Four Outdoorsmen radio show.
I don't even know how to do a Four Outdoorsmen fishing report. I feel like I'm going right before lunch or right before happy hour or right after lunch. But I tell you what, the weather is beautiful outside.
Oh, what a great day.
Ooh. And, you know, people think with these hot temperatures, you know, it can really impact the bite. We're going to have Chip Lear on later on the show. He's a man all over the place in the outdoors. He does a lot. He's covering the NWT, the National Walleye Tour, which is at our favorite lake in North Dakota, Devil's Lake. Walleye bite is really popping there. Go to their Facebook page. Tanner got one just while he was doing the live feed out there where he was catching them on bottom bouncers. We'll have more on that. Mille Lacs, guys. Mille Lacs has been in fuego when it comes to walleyes.
What in God's name is in fuego?
Hot, hot, hot. All now, right. We were up there for the Wild on the Water, and we were chasing smallmouth. And the smallmouth bite is still producing, but it's been a little tougher. Bill Shirk talked about that. A lot more pressure on those fish the last few years. But the walleye bite, I stopped at a couple small tackle shops on the way up there, and good to know. Sales are going strong for them. The landings are just packed, and the flats are where the walleyes are at. I had a chance to sneak up there a couple times this last week after the Wild on the Water in the Alumacraft boat, and thank goodness I had that 205 competitor because one day, as you know, on Mille Lacs, it can have some big swells. We were tackling 4 to 6 foot swells. But with that being said, I didn't really chase them with my partners, my dad and Mr. John, not on the top of the flats, but it was more of the edges in between 25 to 27 feet with a leech, probably about a 7 to 8 foot leader because that lake is very clear with the zebra mussels. And if you feel any type of tick, Strew Man or Producer Mark, you let that bail open. You feel the tick on your finger. Let it go for about 3 to 5 seconds. Reel towards it. Reel back. Snap the rod. And those walleyes are popping. And the walleyes we caught, if you go to the Four Outdoorsmen shout out, you can get your, you know, 2 seconds of flame on fame on the Four Outdoorsmen, you'll see a picture of one of the beautiful walleyes. So really encourage that. I hope we're going to get up there as the Four Outdoorsmen. Had a chance to talk to friend of the show, Scotty Merwin.
Scotty's a hottie.
Scotty's a hottie. Lake Osakis Guide Service. And on Osakis right now, that's a popular destination near Alexandria. They're popping, but they're really spread out on the bars right now. And Scott was saying from Lake Osakis Guide Service, cover a feet of water of between 12 to 25 feet, and he's just running a live bait rig. And then when he finds them on the graph, He'll stop, put down a jig with some bait, and that's how they're catching them. And the panfish are right outside.
I'm going up to Osakis if I can. If there's a lot of bars up in Osakis, you're saying, right?
Yeah,
that's
free, pal. You'll have it all set, huh, buddy?
I'm ready.
You want to hear something else in the news?
I do.
Because you always have great news. You ever heard of Twiggy, the water skiing squirrel?
I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back.
It's a squirrel on
it's
water
a squirrel
skiing.
I know on the water skiing.
I know
right?
the water skiing
if
squirrel.
If you've been to sports shows, I've
seen
got a picture that's going to come out on the Four Outdoorsman with Twiggy on my head. We're going to try to get the owners on the show. Twiggy's been going strong for 39 years. His closing act
that's
was
an
at
old squirrel.
Yeah, I think there's been a few Twiggies
yeah,
in between
I think so
that
too.
The
yeah.
39
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
But all those squirrels were raised in Florida. If you haven't seen him, you're going to have to YouTube it. But he made his closing act at the Excel, I think it was at Excel or something like that at the X Games. And Twiggy is all done. So a big shout out to Twiggy, and hopefully we get him on the show.
So why
sometime.
Did what caused Twiggy's death?
Nothing caused his death. I think just 39 years of touring all over the country. I think it's time for retirement, buddy.
I bet he's going to be eating. Hey, Mark, how was your week, pal?
I had a great week. First off, I just want to mention the Four Outdoorsman shout outs. Go to our Four Outdoorsmen Facebook page and comment on the shout-out section. We have a couple here I'd like to go through quick. Hello from Jennifer Zeiss. We had a great day of fishing and lucked out on some meals of panfish. That's my favorite. The kids caught most of the fish. That's the way it should be. And Al White Wegleiter.
Wegleitner.
Wegleitner. Shout-out to his new Traeger. And I have to say, I got a new Traeger this weekend, and I am so excited.
Now, to our listeners who are not familiar with grills, mm-hmm. talk yeah. about the Traeger grill. That's a cool deal.
Traeger, the wood-fired grill that smokes everything. I've had one for about a year, the small size, the tailgater.
Yep.
And I loved it so much. I grill probably four times a week that I upgraded and got the big boy. And I am so excited.
What a thrill.
You know what I love about that Traeger? We had it. Remember, we cooked some steaks and hot dogs on that up at the bachelor party when
yep.
we went up to Wing and Fin.
Yep.
And it's so easy. You just put in the wood fire pellets. They got different flavors. And it cooks your chicken, your pork, and your steak perfectly. And ribs, buddy.
Now, I've got one problem with the Traeger grills. We're giving them all kinds of love, and they're not sponsoring our radio show. That bothers me, man.
Well, we're
so
working on
enough
that,
of that
buddy.
Crap.
We're
enough
working
of that
on
crap.
That. Yeah, right. Yeah, we'll call them Stokes Bay.
All right, there we go. There you go.
Whoa, that was a good one. Battleship.
I'm going to save that for Dan Hull. Go ahead, Mark.
Also, Josh Shave.
Josh Shave.
Shave. I always screw up the last name.
Jesus,
sorry.
You were brutal.
He's out on the golf with his son Jack slaying a B-size snook, a good 15-minute battle. That's fantastic. I can't wait to take my kids ocean fishing for the first time. Speaking of my kids, my big event of the week is I taught Nick how to go tubing.
There you go.
My five-year-old son.
How do you teach a kid how to sit on his ass?
Well, I had to be very supportive and go very slow. He's not the most adventurous always, so... but he did it, and he's excited, and the Sea Sprite ran great, and I'm pretty proud of him.
He's ready for the Strewman's
cabin.
Oh, and
I have to give a shout-out to your son, Mike Heinen. Do you know why?
I'm going to find out right now.
He got a brand-new Competitor 205 from Hallberg Marine with a 250 horse on the back, just like Boomer's.
Oh, now, he's got a new competitor, and I got to give a shout-out to my beautiful wife.
I got to hang on a second. We got to back this up. My son owes me some money. You're telling me he bought a new competitor? He bought a used one.
No, it's brand new, buddy. A brand new Alumacraft. Bad looking boat, boy.
We are going to have a discussion. Go ahead, Boom.
Yeah, I just want to give a shout out to my lovely wife, who was named one of the most influential female anglers in North America. It just came out from the Wildlife Enthusiast magazine. And shout-outs to Rebecca Red, who's an A-teamer from Alumacraft, Minnesota native Mandy Urich, and Pam Martin-Wells. So really nice to see that these media channels, and we do the same. We're going to have Hannah Brandt on, you know, the gold medal Olympic hockey player after break.
Yep.
That these women are making lots of great things happen in the sport.
Yeah, we've
of
got
fishing.
Hannah Brandt on, who is a Venice Heights young lady, went to Hillmary High School. Olympic hockey player. They won the gold medal. She's done tons of things. This is going to be a lot of fun. Thanks to Ron Cunningham for setting that up. And then Chip Lear is going to be on. We'll talk about him as well. But you talked a little bit about grilling. Let me tell you a little bit about my last couple of days. It's been fun. Thursday night, and you guys will make fun of me here because I'm kind of cheap with my money. But Thursday night, my gorgeous wife, Diana, and I went up to see Brooks and Dunn at Hinckley Casino, which was really,
really
fun.
They must have played a long time, Stu.
They only played an hour and 15 minutes, those chumps, you know. $90 for an hour and 15 minutes. And I figured, well, okay, I spent a lot of money on those tickets. So instead of getting the hotel up there, my wife's got this really nice SUV. We slept in the back of her vehicle, which was kind of cool. That's one.
You really slept in the back of your vehicle.
We did, right in the parking lot.
Last time I did that is when I lived in Missouri,
right in the
duck hunting,
lot.
And I wanted to claim my spot.
Yeah. Our backs are sore still, and we both had to pee real bad in the morning, but we worked it out.
You probably had a lot of brandy in your fall.
I had a few. That's one of the reasons we didn't drive the 70 miles or so back to the Twin Cities, but she's got a nice vehicle. Then I'll tell you what, then last night, Friday night, that was Friday night, right? No, Thursday I saw Jake Nelson. Friday night saw Brooks and Dunn, and last night I worked the Luke Bryan and Sam Hunt concert at Target Field. Which
that's
was
like
the
country music cycle was, you had right
was,
there.
That was like your turkey... What do you call that thing?
A cast and blast. Where
no,
you're
no,
turkey
no.
Hunting.
The turkey, you get the grand slam. That was almost a grand slam. It was only. It's like the four outdoorsmen, only three.
Mario, right? Huh?
We're talking about the cookout. I got to tell you this because I think my friends are listening right now. We had some people know that I sell real estate and very blessed to have had a decent career, met a lot of good people. Everything is about building relationships with you guys. Brandon, everybody is building relationships. Nobody gives a rat's butt how much money you made, how many homes I've sold, but it's building relationships. I met some really good people. What are you guys talking about now? You laughing at me right now?
We're just laughing about money doesn't matter, but your cheap butt won't even spend $50 to stay in a hotel,
right? It was
fairly
comfortable. Anyway, so we have some friends of ours they're now become friends of ours. We helped him buy a property and sell a property, and he's a retired chef more or less. He actually was a big time chef, and we talked about ahi tuna. And he's going to come to our house today to have a cookout, ahi tuna. He's got all
That's
kinds
tonight?
Of rest. That was this afternoon. So my wife and I get all prepared. We got the wine, the appetizers. They come over. We sit on the patio, have a couple of cocktails, turn the grill on. He says, "You all set?" I said, "We're all set." He goes in the kitchen with my wife, Diana. And I hear Diana say, "Strew, you screwed up again." I said, "What do you mean?" They come out and said, "Where's the fish?" I thought he was going to buy it. He thought I was going to buy it.
I love it, Strew.
So I had to run to Fresh Time grocery store, pick up some tuna. So we screwed up.
Did you buy it in the can and
no,
then just
no,
throw
that's
it on
what
the
they
grill?
Said.
Like,
yeah,
some
yeah, that's what they said.
Something like that, some foil.
What's that? Something of the chicken of the sea tuna? No. I actually got some in time and we had dinner. But thanks to Phil and Therese Moneta, great people. Hopefully we can go to Mazatlan with them in February. It was
Ooh,
a wonderful time.
Wow.
Looking forward to that.
Hey, Strew, you want to make $10,000?
I want to go fishing.
All right. Well, if you want to go fishing and make $10,000, last week we had Mark Schutz on, who's a guide and promoter up in the Mille Lacs area. The Blackfish Classic is happening on Monday, July 30th. You can go to blackfishgear.com to learn more.
What else are you going to do on a Monday?
And you can make it. It's about $350, $370. But the winner gets $10,000 and a free guide trip with Mark Fisher. That's right. So if Mark's listening right now, he gets a free guide trip. He's not listening right now, so he's just doing his own thing over there in the studio. But, yep, $10,000, Blackfish Gear Classic on Monday.
That's on Lake Minnetonka, right?
Yep, July 30th.
I'll tell you what, I'll get Phil Moneta to cook Mark Fisher ahi tuna on the grill. That'll be his first
How
prize.
Many times can we say Mark Fisher till we get his attention? Oh, there he is right there. Hey, did you hear about your... Did you hear that you're giving away a free guide trip to the winner on the Blackfish Classic for $10,000? He's silent. I think I just made him swallow his Gatorade in the wrong pipe right there.
Go ahead, Mark. Mark's got something to say.
There
go
we
ahead,
go.
Mark.
I'm sorry.
Oh. We were talking about on Monday you can win $10,000 in a local derby. And to see if you were listening over there, I know you were studying. I said, and on top of that, unlimited guide trips from Mark Fisher, Hall of Famer.
Yeah, why not? We'll just throw them out there. That's good.
Yeah, did you just go fishing, buddy? You look like you got a Gatorade.
I'm tired. I was up on Rainy for about the last 10 days. So it was good. It was really good. We had a derby up there, you know, the Fort Francis Canadian Championship deal, and with that Bolig Fishes. Larry did really good. Larry took seventh up there.
Yep.
And, so it was a lot of fun. You know, beautiful country.
Now, did you fish too, Mark?
Yeah.
How did you do?
Scotty and I took 22nd. We had a tough bite. We had a consistent 13 pounds for the first 2 days each day.
Yep.
And then cracked 17 yesterday. Same milk run. You know,
oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it's just amazing how it goes, but you know, that's fishing.
You know, Mark, quick question for you. Yeah. We got you impromptu, and we got about a minute to break.
Sure.
The walleye bite that we've experienced on Mille Lacs has been just unbelievable right now.
That's what I heard. Yeah.
But the smallie bite seems to be a little tougher. There's a lot of discussion with, you know, we're on Wild on the Water. There's a lot more pressure, you know, the last few years with all the fame that the elites brought to it. What do you think about that? Smalley Bike getting a little tougher on Mille Lacs now?
Yeah, I think it's a case of they got what they were looking for. They got the national exposure, and now the pressure up there is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, there was another event. I won't mention it, but it was sad. I mean, there were very few fish caught.
Yeah.
Smallmouth. And people know what the game is. So if everybody's doing the same thing, which typically ends up being the deal that, you know, happened years ago on Tonka in the 90s. You know, everybody was flipping the milfoil, and, you know, and all of a sudden the fish become somewhat conditioned. So Mille Lacs is no different than anything else. But you know as well as so many anglers that you go up to Mille Lacs and you go driving around and a lot of out-of-state boats. So it's good for the economy. It really, really is. And we're all thrilled about that. But the lake does take a hit.
Well, we're pulling right now that hopefully coming up this next season, you can keep a walleye on Mille Lacs, Mark, because I tell you, on the flats, those walleyes were fat, healthy, aggressive, and there was a lot of numbers being caught.
Everybody, and if everybody keeps beating that drum, you got to get their attention.
Yep.
You know, it's truly the deal, because when you go, you know, and you're not using live bait for smallmouth fishing, you're just going, and you're catching walleyes. There's a population.
Well, there he is, Hall of Famer Mark Fisher. We always catch him impromptu. We never give him a warning. Strew, four outdoorsmen. Who do we have coming up next?
Yeah, we got Hannah Brandt. Hannah Brandt is a St. Paul Twin Cities young lady. Played for Hill Murray High School, the University of Minnesota, and the gold medal winning team for the United States of America in the 2018 Olympics. Hannah Brandt is going to be on right now with the four outdoorsmen.
Missed part of Bob Outdoors? No problem. Just click on the weekend tab at mybobcountry.com to listen back to the four outdoorsmen anytime.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
Hey, what fire? Lakes Trading Company is up and running at 708 South Lake Street in Forest Lake. Fire may have destroyed the building, but not the spirit and the drive of the Twin Cities premier firearms destination. If you enjoy the outdoors and love firearms, give Lakes Trading Company a very serious look. I'll tell you what, they've got everything you could want, whether you're a rookie or a pro, and the staff is second to none. Lakes Trading Company, well, my friend, they're coming back stronger than ever. If you want more information, check out their website. Go to lakestradingco.com.
Join the fun at Minnesota's largest outdoor event of the summer, Game Fair 2018. Game Fair features dozens of hunting, fishing, and dog training seminars. Visit with more than 300 exhibitors and enjoy games for dogs and kids of all ages. Check out the latest, greatest outdoor equipment and be amazed by our shotgun trick shooter show twice daily. Game Fair runs 2 big weekends, rain or shine, August 10th, 11th, and 12th, and August 17th, 18th, and 19th at the Armstrong Ranch. For complete details, visit gamefair.com.
Hi, this is Kyle Barr from Juice Baits. When you're fishing with soft plastics this season, you're going to rock it when you choose Juice Baits. Juice Baits are a less expensive alternative with a huge variety of options, such as craw tubes, creature baits, Sankos, tubes and jig trailers, swim baits and finesse worms, and a wide selection of crappie baits. See the entire selection of Juice Baits at juicebaits.com and like our Facebook page. When you hit the water, throw the juice. Juice Baits, a Minnesota company.
MyPillow pillows are amazing. They're so amazing that they're arriving in more and more households every day. Hi, it's Brad LaRocque from MyPillow. Did you know that MyPillow also has mattress toppers? Travel season's here, and their roll-and-go travel pillows are a big hit. They do come in multiple colors and patterns. Shop their sheet sets, even MyPillow mattresses. And in case you haven't heard, they have pet beds. So don't delay. Take advantage of the great offer of buy one MyPillow and get another one absolutely free. Go to MyPillow.com, enter the promo code Bob, or call 1-800-606-7812 and take advantage of this amazing offer. The offer expires August 1st, so order now at MyPillow.com. Make sure that you enter the promo code Bob or call 1-800-606-7812. That's 1-800-606-7812.
There's never been a better time to try our Sprint network. We have to find a way to tell everyone. Atlas is here to help.
Because now we have our new Unlimited Plus plan. It has Hulu and all the TV and movies you love, title premium, music streaming, 15 gigabytes mobile hotspot, and full HD. All on the network built for Unlimited at the best price.
Exactly. We need to shout this deal from the rooftops.
You got it.
Atlas, I didn't mean literally.
Sprint's new Unlimited Plus plan. Best deal ever.
Switch to Sprint's Unlimited Plus plan for just $42 per line. But hurry, for a limited time, it's now $22 per line when you bring or buy your own phones. Visit a Sprint store, Sprint.com/unlimited, or call 1-800-SPRINT-1.
Price with $5 per month auto pay discount. One Hulu Limited Commercials plan per Sprint account. Features differ. Offer coverage not available everywhere. Excludes taxes, fees, and roaming. Requires new line subject to credit and $3 activation fee. Speed maximums, use rules, and restrictions apply.
Hey, let's get right to it. This is Strew Man here, Steve Strusinski, the four outdoorsman Boomer, the fishing guy, and the hunting guy is to my left, and Mark Lukey, producer, is to his left. And I'll tell you what, we really do have a special guest, you guys, because how many times do you get to talk to a gold medal winner? Not too often. And this time we've got a chance to talk to...
You're on a roll with them.
I am.
You got Monster Mike Schultz on, right?
Yeah, the Paralympic snowboarder. He won a gold medal. He was on a while back as well. Good guy. But this time we've got someone prettier than Mr. Schultz. We've got Hannah Brandt. Hannah, are you there? And welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be on.
Well, it's fun. This is fun because what you've done, what you've accomplished in your 24 or 25 years or whatever is a lot more than the rest of us will ever accomplish the rest of our life. Boomer, you got to say something?
Yeah, I was about to say, Hannah, Boomer here. Thanks for joining us. I know it was really hard to concentrate in L.A. at the ESPYs knowing that you were going to be on the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Country.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Thank you for holding on and doing such a great job during the ESPYs.
Yeah, definitely one of the hardest things I've had to do, so you're very welcome.
Yeah. Hey, Hannah, when you go to someplace like the ESPYs, by the way, you guys won an award, I think, for the most exciting game or whatever it is voted on by the public. Am I correct? You won an ESPY award for that?
Yes, I believe that's what it was for.
And that was for the final game of the U.S. Olympic gold medal winning game, and I'll tell you what, Dan Boris is a friend of all of ours on the show here, the Four Outdoorsmen. And I love Dan Boris a lot. Hopefully he's listening because he's not a big fan of women's sports. Every time I tell him, I've seen you a lot. And I used to watch you in high school. I'm from Vadnais Heights myself right now. I went to Johnson High School. I've seen you at the University of Minnesota, taking my grandkids a number of times. But Dan Boris, every time I ask him to go to a Gopher women's basketball game or a Gopher women's hockey game, he says, "Ah, God, I'd love to, but I got to wash my hair." He's balder than hell. He doesn't understand what you guys go through. I think you guys are the most respected athletic team in the state of Minnesota. How's that?
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Now, listen. Go ahead, Mark. I'm going, Boomer.
I don't know where that story was going either, Hannah, but I got to just kidding, Strew. But, Hannah, so you were at the ESPYs. You just come off the gold medal win. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about your background, where you grew up? I mean, we know it, but, I mean, you're a Minnesota girl. Tell us about how you grew up and your love for hockey and how it turned into playing for the Olympics and winning a gold medal.
Yeah, so I grew up in Vadnais Heights, Minnesota, like it was just mentioned. And I don't know, I started playing, I think I was 5 years old. I wanted to do, well, I always wanted to play hockey, but my mom wanted me to do figure skating, and that just didn't go well. they refused to pass me because I was wearing hockey skates. So my mom finally, like, kind of let it happen where I could play hockey and never really looked back. I always knew I wanted to play for the University of Minnesota and was able to make that happen. And then Olympics was always a dream as well. So, yeah, I was pretty lucky.
What's interesting about your background, Hannah, of course, I know a lot about it because of our proximity to each other geographically, if you want to say that. But your mom and dad, like someone in my family, tried to have a child for a long time and couldn't, you know, conceive, and they decided to adopt Marissa, and then all of a sudden, 5 months later, you're born. That seems to happen all the time, but what's cool about that, you developed such a strong bond with Marissa, you became great friends, and you both became hockey players, which is really rare. You played high school together. That must have been a great part of your life.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously don't remember the first few years, But we basically, I mean, we did everything together, and we were so close in age, like you said, that we were one grade year apart in school, but we got to play hockey together. We did everything together, and definitely bonded over hockey. And yeah, it was. I'm pretty lucky to have her in my life. And people, it's funny, people thought we were twins because my parents would dress us the exact same when we were younger. So even though we didn't probably look that much alike, people still got us mistaken. So
now Greg and Robin have a sense of humor if they dress you alike and passed you off as twins. Go ahead, Boomer.
You know, Hannah, you know, looking at your, we were talking about, you know, wow, she's got a Wikipedia page. You know, it's kind of like the
big
reference.
Big time.
Everything on Google, and you can find out more about you. But, you know, you played in the World U18 Championships back in 2011 in Sweden, and you guys took the gold. And then you played in the World Championships in 2015, 2017, and 2012. And then just recently won the gold medal in 2018. Share with our listeners, what's that like to, like, make a world championship team? And then what's the whole process of getting selected and trying out for the Olympic team?
Oh, geez. Well, I guess starting with the U18 team, you go to these USA development camps. So you have to go through, like, 5 rounds of tryouts to make just the camp. And then from that camp, they pick the team. So that's the U18 team. That's probably the hardest one to make, to be honest. There's so many tryouts involved. And then once you make the U18 team, I mean, that's all you can do. And then to get invited to the national team, they just kind of scout you and watch. So it's, in a sense, it's easier, but it's not. I don't know. It's just a lot of tryouts, a lot of people watching you all the time. You're just kind of always being evaluated. So it's a challenge, but it's fun.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Hannah, you know, I'm looking at your background. If people don't know who Hannah Brandt is and Amanda Kessel and all these girls that you've played with for a long, long time, your background, your history and your record is phenomenal. I mean, Hill Murray High School in 2011, 2012, you scored 90 points in 26 games.
Wow.
Now, I know there's not as much parity in women's sports. There probably is now more so than even when you were playing, but 90 points in 26 games in 2012. You were All-State 4 years. You went to WCHA and played for the Gophers, Player of the Year, junior and sophomore years. I think you were Miss Minnesota in hockey in maybe 2012. I'm not even sure. You've done literally everything. Now, did you play with Nora Ratty? Uh-oh.
Sorry.
Did you play with Nora Ratty? Was she the goalie?
Yep, I played with Nora my freshman year at the University of Minnesota, and we didn't lose a game the whole year.
All right, then that's the time I saw you guys. I tell you what, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for one. Number two, for the excitement. I've taken my grandkids. I've got 10. My wife, Diana, and I have 10. And our 14-year-old granddaughter is a good hockey player, and we've taken her to see you guys a lot. By the way, the best dollar investment for sports in the entire state is Women Gophers Hockey. Ritter Arena is the best place to play hockey, and even though you played in state, you should play the women's girls hockey, should play at Ritter Arena and pack it in. It is the best venue in hockey. Now, I happen to be there, correct me if I'm wrong, when you guys won state and the Nationals, and Nora was in the Nets. Is she from, where is she from? From New Zealand, where is she from? Nora Ratty.
She's from Finland.
Okay, from Finland. She played in the Nets in the semifinal game for the national title, and her mom came from Finland to watch her. And if I recall, it was the first time she ever saw Nora Ratty in the Nets. And you guys beat, I forget who it was, in the semifinal game in 3 or 4 overtimes. And it was, if you played that game, it was the most exciting athletic thing I'd seen in many, many years. Do you recall that game?
Yeah, you can't really forget a 3-overtime game. It was actually the quarterfinal, though.
Okay.
And we were playing against the Lamoureux twins, who I actually now played on the Olympic team with. But that was the most exhausting game I've ever been a part of.
You know, that was, I tell you what, two things I remember about that game. It was so exciting. And 3 overtimes, and Nora was playing out of her butt, and her mom was there, which was a thrill. It was a 4-hour hockey game, and which I didn't even think about that. And number two, I also remember spending $5 for a bottle of water, and Struman's not spending $5 on a bottle of water ever again in my life. But it was the most exciting athletic thing I've ever seen in my life. Go ahead, Boomer.
You know, Hannah, you know, going back to the Olympics, and then I'm going to have a question for you with your professional women's hockey career. What was that like in the locker room? You know, I kind of think of one of my favorite movies to watch is The Miracle, when I run on the treadmill. And, you know, the speech you see before the game and they get out there. What was it like, the energy like, before you were going on the ice to play for a gold medal for the United States of America?
Oh, geez. I mean, we tried to keep things, like, as simple and, like, as normal as you can. But I think everyone had a little more excitement, a few more nerves maybe than another game. But like I said, you can't let that get to you. So just trying to keep it, keep all our emotions in control. But, I mean, you're playing for a gold medal, so it's a pretty big deal and it's exciting. It's what we've been training for our whole lives. So I was excited personally.
You know, Hannah, I think about, you know, my college baseball career, which is nothing compared to what you've accomplished. But even before the big games and you were about to take the mound, sometimes, you know, before you got into some type of playoff to go to, like, you know, nationals, whatnot, I had nerves that night before. What was it like the night before the big game? I mean, what was your ritual and were you able to sleep? And talk to our listeners about that.
Oh, yeah. So the night before, I think I kind of feel like my roommates and I, we just kind of watched the other Olympics, like the other sports going on. We were just kind of hanging out, trying to, again, keep it as normal as possible. The only thing I do remember is I fell asleep fine probably, but I woke up super early and I was just ready to go at like 7 a.m. I didn't need to be up that early, but I was ready to go. I went and walked around and stuff, but there was no way I was going to sleep in that day.
I was just going to, one more, Hannah. When did your nerves hit its peak? Was it right before the ice? Was it the third period? Was it the night before? When did you have the most butterflies?
I'd probably say when I woke up. Like I said, that's kind of when I was probably the most nervous. And then once you get to the rink, it's just another hockey game. You're trying to you're just at the rink with your teammates and just goofing around, enjoying yourselves, but also getting focused and ready for the game. So I'd say personally just in the morning.
Hannah, I've had the opportunity this year to coach my granddaughter, my 14-year-old granddaughter, Allie, in U14 traveling softball. And she's a very, very good player. She's a good hockey player, not a great hockey player. And you pray to God that they go to the next level. And she's right in the middle there someplace. I'm wondering, and I'm concerned, I'm trying to help the best I possibly can. What bothers me about U14's traveling softball is politics. The politics in youth sports just drives me crazy. That being said, as you were growing up, you had to have all the support in the world and coaches that supported you and helped you out through your entire career. Tell me about three or four coaches that you really, 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 really thank for getting you where you are.
Oh, yeah. That's the easy one. I guess I'd start with my high school coach, Bill Schaffhauser at Hill Murray.
Yep.
I owe him a ton of credit for not only being a great coach, but like all the things he taught me away from the rink. And he really pushed me because there were times where I doubted myself and I maybe didn't set my goals high enough. And he always pushed me and told me that I could do better. And he could always see me making the Olympic team. And there were times where I doubted myself. So he was amazing in that aspect for sure. And then all of my college coaches were incredible. We've talked about the University of Minnesota a little bit already, but I couldn't have asked for a better 4 years, better coaches, a better arena to play at.
You bet.
Just better teammates. So I love the University of Minnesota and all the people involved there.
Your sister Marissa was a very, very good hockey player. You're not old people by any means, but is a very good hockey player as well. And all of a sudden, you go D1, she goes D3, and you're getting in the big picture, the big show. Did it bother you a little bit that she was not going to that next level? Was there any discrepancy at all between you and Marissa as a result of that?
No, I think we both kind of had different ideas of where we wanted to go with hockey, and we both made our own decisions. We had always kind of done the same thing growing up, and it was time to kind of part ways, and we both had great experiences and I think wouldn't want to do it any differently, but it all obviously all kind of came back together at the Olympics.
Following the Olympics, if I recall, you did not have an opportunity to skate against Marissa, is that correct?
That's correct.
All right, have you ever skated against her competitively?
I had one exhibition game when I played for the Minnesota Whitecaps 2 years ago. We played outdoors, part of Hockey Day Minnesota against the Korea team, but that was more for fun. So I haven't competitively played against her, but I have gone against her.
All right. Hey, one more question. Hannah Brand from the United States Olympic hockey team, gold medal winning team. You mentioned the Minnesota Whitecaps. That's what's happening with your life right now. Talk about the Whitecaps. We've got about a minute left. And what your plans are the next 4 or 5 years?
Yep. So the Minnesota Whitecaps have been around for 20 years, but we just joined the National Women's Hockey League for the first time.
Cool.
So we're going to be starting our season coming up in September or October in St. Paul. So
October 6th. Yeah. You're playing October 6th at the Tria Arena. Have you skated there?
Yes. I've not played there, no.
I'm looking forward to seeing that. I think it's on top of the old Dayton's building downtown St. Paul, if I remember. Am I correct? That's the Tria, right?
I believe so, yeah.
It'll be fun. Well, we're looking forward to seeing you. If you want to go find Hannah and the rest of the gang, go to northwest.zone, I think, and you pick up tickets for the Minnesota Whitecaps, and they start October 6th at Tria downtown St. Paul.
Or if you Google Hannah Brandt, Hannah, there is a ton of info on you. Thanks for joining us. Congrats again on all your accomplishments, and we wish you the best in your career.
Thank you very much.
Hey, one more quick thing, Hannah. Are you still juggling? I heard you like to juggle.
I can juggle.
Well, I want to see you. I want to see you juggle, young lady, because I love juggling. You're a talented young lady. Thanks, Hannah Brandt. Good luck with your career. Thanks for giving us all the excitement in the world. We're proud of all you girls for what you've done. Have a great life. Talk to you soon.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
You bet. We'll be right back with the Four Outdoorsmen.
You're going to call her after the broadcast?
Just enjoying Bob Outdoors with the Four Outdoorsmen on a Sunday evening. It's a good thing.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there is no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
Hey, what fire? Lakes Trading Company is up and running at 708 South Lake Street in Forest Lake. Fire may have destroyed the building, but not the spirit and the drive of the Twin Cities' premier firearms destination. If you enjoy the outdoors and love firearms, give Lakes Trading Company a very serious look. I'll tell you what, they've got everything you could want, whether you're a rookie or a pro, and the staff is second to none. Lakes Trading Company, well, my friend, they're coming back stronger than ever. If you want more information, check out their website. Go to lakestradingco.com.
Attention bow hunters. Don't miss Bow Fest, July 27th through the 29th in Superior, Wisconsin. It's the Midwest's largest 3D archery festival. The weekend's events include 4 unique courses with 80-plus Reinhardt targets and thousands of dollars in prizes. Guest appearances over the weekend include world bow hunting champion Levi Morgan, Babe Winkleman, and not to mention live music with headliner Aaron Lewis on Saturday night. For more information, check out Bow Fest 2018 on Facebook.
Hi, this is Tyler Barr from Juice Baits. Juice Baits is a Minnesota company based out of Brainerd. Juice Baits are tried, true, and tested by me and my brother Kyle, who are both high school fishing state champions. And we know a good bait, so we came up with Juice Baits. Buy the whole line of soft plastics infused with the juice and get ready for boatloads of fish this season. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and see the whole Juice Baits story on the web at juicebaits.com.
There's never been a better time to try our Sprint network. We have to find a way to tell everyone. Atlas is here to help.
Because now we have our new Unlimited Plus plan. It has Hulu and all the TV and movies you love, Tidal Premium, music streaming, 15 gigabytes mobile hotspot, and full HD. All on the network built for Unlimited at the best price.
Exactly. We need to shout this deal from the rooftops.
You got it.
Atlas, I didn't mean literally.
Sprint's new Unlimited Plus plan. Best deal ever.
Switch to Sprint's Unlimited Plus plan for just $42 per line. But hurry, for a limited time, it's now $22 per line when you bring or buy your own phones. Visit a Sprint store, Sprint.com/unlimited, or call 1-800-SPRINT-1.
Price with $5 per month autopay discount. One Hulu limited commercials plan for Sprint account. Features differ. Offer coverage not available everywhere. Excludes taxes, fees, and roaming. Requires new line subject to credit. $3 activation fee. Speed maximums, use rules, and restrictions apply.
And we're back with the Four Outdoorsmen. Welcome, everybody, on this beautiful Sunday night. Boomer, how's it going?
I tell you what, it's going great. The land of 10,000 lakes. The weather is beautiful. We're fishing. And speaking of fishing, we have an amazing guest coming on the show.
Mr. Chip Lear is coming on in a second. I just want to give a shout-out to Eric Linnell for winning our contest on Facebook last week. He got two weekend passes to Bowfest. This coming weekend sounds like a great event, and congratulations, Eric, and thank you for joining our contest. We got to do more contests like that.
Yeah, we got to do more contests. Appreciate everyone that liked and shared and commented and all that, and all the great folks that, you know, participate in our Four Outdoorsmen shout out, and all the folks that follow us on Facebook and Instagram and all that great stuff. But let's move on to talk about.
Well, hang on a second before we can do any contests.
You weren't in the room.
There's kind of a catch-22 here. Before we can do more contests, we have to have more people give us more crap to give away.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, I think we can make that happen.
All right.
I think we can do that, wild card. But I think on the line, Mr. Chip Lear. Chip Lear, are you with us?
I am here. How are you doing, guys?
We're doing great. Hey, Chip, Boomer here. And I don't know if I've formally met you, but I've seen you around, I think, at sports shows. And I just want to say thanks again for joining us tonight on the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Country. I love the stuff that you do and appreciate you joining us tonight. And where are you at right now?
Right now I'm sitting on the shores of Leech Lake getting ready to leave for Devil's Lake in the morning.
Oh, Devil's Lake.
Life's a bitch and then you die.
Hey, it's true. What's the slot on Devil's Lake?
There is no slot limit.
And how many walleyes can you keep a day?
You can keep five a day and 10.
And when does walleye season close?
It never closes.
I love it, Stu. So, Chip, tell us about your next adventure. So you're going to Devil's Lake for the NWT. What's going on there?
Yeah, this is the National Walleye Tour, and the Cabela's National Walleye Tour does four stops a year. This is our third stop. It'll be Devil's Lake in North Dakota. So far this year, we've been to Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and fished Lake Winnebago and that entire chain. And the second stop was Saginaw Bay or Bay City in Michigan. And we fished there just a few weeks ago, and now Devil's Lake. And the idea is that the best of the best all end up in Lake of the Woods, but at first week of September for our championship. So it's the four biggest steps in walleye tournament fishing throughout a season. This is certainly a big cog in the wheel over the entire season on the Cabela's National Walleye Tour. We're going to award over $2 million. So if you do your math, there's a lot on the line in Devil's Lake coming up on this next Thursday and Friday.
Well, I tell you what, Chip, Devil's Lake is like a second home to me, and it's a favorite spot of the Four Outdoorsmen. But some people, for our listeners just tuning into the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Country, Chip Lear, or you might know him as Fishing the Wild Side. Hey, Chip, take a couple minutes and talk to our listeners a little bit about your background and what you do.
Well, I wear a lot of different hats inside the fishing industry. I started as a fishing guide. I grew up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Started as a fishing guide on Lake of the Woods, of all places. And then my role in the fishing industry has really evolved and taken a lot of different twists and turns. It really comes down to I'm a very passionate fisherman for a lot of different species. I've had my foot in the door of tournament walleye fishing for, I guess, about 12 years now, at least on the upper ends of it. I started with the In Fisherman's Professional Walleye Trail back in 06. So from there to here through FLW, and which is now the National Walleye Tour, I've been involved in the tournament circuit. But day in, day out, I've got my own little brand called Fishing the Wild Side, which obviously has a website and newsletters and fishing tips and fishing information. And it's really a celebration of the sport with tips and tricks, trying to just help more people catch more fish more often and have a lot of fun doing it. And that's my side of fishing is kind of a little bit different than what the tournament fishing is, which is so cutting edge. But I look at my role as taking what I learned from the cutting edge, top of the best tournament anglers, and taking that into what can we use for the rest of us that are fishing part time on weekends, because it takes a lot to digest that information into why do I care as a recreational angler? Why should I care what happens on a tournament trail? But it does, because that's things that we're learning about how to catch fish for everybody moving forward. And that's kind of where I look at my role. It's kind of that go-between.
You know, Chip, you talked about being kind of a jack of all trades, and we often talk about the show. Producer Mark to my left, you know, he also is a big part of Ron Scherer Productions, myself with the radio gig here and Blue 42 and the promotions there. Wild card with his golfing career.
That's me.
And his professional softball stuff. But all serious aside, you know, you also do a lot of other things. Reading on your bio, you're a product manager at Northland Fishing Tackle. And you also serve, it says, as a director of the Minnesota Fishing Hall of Fame, a nonprofit outreach organization dedicating to memorializing the state's fishing history and preserving its future. What's it like to be on the board of directors for a Hall of Fame?
Well, there's a lot of very intelligent fishermen that are sitting around you, I'll tell you that. But it's fun, and that's where that's how I look at fishing as a whole, right? I mean, there's always some. The fun thing about tournament fishing is there's always somebody pushing the limits. You're always learning something new, and it's a mindset with the same guys that are inside the Hall of Fame. There, they have this cutting edge forethought about. To look at a regular bite and how fish bite and where fish are located and how we can present lures to them and come up with new and innovative ways to get the biggest fish to react. And that's the same thing with the Hall of Fame. I think it's really important that we preserve where we've been and what we've learned in fishing so we know where we can go forward. And for the we take a lot for granted here in Minnesota. I mean, we are the epitome of what goes on. I just came from a convention in Orlando, Florida, with all of the tackle companies from all over the world.
ICAST.
It's really amazing the influence that Minnesota has on fishing as far away as Norway and Finland and Russia. It's mind-boggling, but it comes through Minnesota.
Yeah, I think a big part of that is just, first of all, how good the fishing is here, but how many industries are based here. Like you work with Northland Tackle and everything. Producer Mark here, and thank you again for joining us. I really appreciate last minute style, but I just wanted to get into the NWT a little bit more. We have a lot of tournament fishermen on, but how does the event itself actually work? So can you walk us through the weekend and how it works? Is it a combination of weights on Sunday, or how does the actual process work on an NWT tournament?
And how do you qualify?
The NWT is a pro-co event. So it is a professional angler gets randomly paired with a co-angler or an amateur angler for a given day, and they fish together as a team for that day. And it's a random assignment. So then the next day, all the names are juggled again, and that co-angler will carry their weight from day one to day two, as will the pro, but they get a completely new partner for the next day.
Cool. So
they fish as a team, they weigh fish as a team, but they are actually, and they're not competing against each other. Co-anglers or amateurs fish against amateurs, pros fish against pros, two different money pools taking place here, but that's how it works from day one, day two. And the heaviest weight over the 2 days, that's how we crown a champion. And of course, first place on the pro side is quite sizable. It starts with a Ranger boat with an outboard and all sorts of contingency money. First place is usually somewhere between $93,000 to $95,000 for each one of our regular tour events, and then the championship gets a little bit higher, and we give away multiple boats, of course. There as well, and even the amateurs win boats at the championship.
That's great, Chip. Can you tell us maybe some of the names of some of the top anglers or who's in the lead so far, and just some of the personalities that people can expect to be at NWT?
Well, the NWT has got some great fishermen from all over North America. I mean, there's plenty of Hall of Famers, including the Parsons and the Kavayas, the Ted Takasakis of the world. All these guys are fishing the events, the Tommy Scarlesses. But in the Kevin, like from Minnesota, we've got the Kevin McCoys, the Mark Courts, the lots of hometown influence. In fact, in third place on our Angler of the Year race right now is a young guy that graduated from Bemidji State University, Dusty Minky.
Cool.
And he is really coming on strong. But if you look at the top of that angler leaderboard from the Angler of the Year race, it's littered with guys. This interesting mix between guys that have done this since the inception in the early 90s on Lake of the Woods and Rainy River when the PWT started, and some guys were there for that, And then there's these young guys like Corey Springle and the Joe Okadas of the world, you know, guys that are in their, you know, late 20s, early 30s, but have really mixed it up and are some of the top all-time, or some of the top money winners over the last 3 years that are really giving the veterans a run for their money as they mix things up. And I think that's what makes Devil's Lake so much fun as a fishery, is that what you're watching there is the way that lake fishes. Guys can fish however they're good at fishing. So if they're good at casting jigs, they can win the tournament doing that. They're good at throwing a lead core, they can win the tournament doing that. The last couple times, you know, a lot of guys that have been jigging glide baits, you know, like jigging wraps and puppet minnows and shiver minnows and those kind of bigger glide baits, that has won out at Devil's Lake. But you can literally win doing anything you're good at because there's that many fish in that many different locations out there.
Go ahead, Boomer.
Yeah, Chip, quick question for you before we get to Strew's question. With as involved as you are in the fishing industry, and as you talked about the influence that the state of Minnesota has with its 10,000 lakes and 1.3 million fishing licenses, it's amazing. But what are some of the more innovative things you've seen come across the fishing belt in the last 5 to 10 years?
I think a couple of things, especially in the from the walleye world, it comes down to techniques. I mean, these guys that are fishing this, like the National Walleye Tour, these are the guys that are responsible for that whole explosion of the slow death hook, or if you paid attention to any of the little micro flex spinner blades that are being utilized right now. So some interesting trolling techniques there. I think that you're seeing, the same thing takes place from a lot of the trolling presentations, the casting presentations, where we watch this power fishing, which I call it, where we're casting and jigging the shiver minnows, the jigging wraps, the rattle wraps, the rattle baits, all this power fishing for walleye. This explosion is really coming, and it's all come from the tournament anglers. It actually started from a guide on Lake Bemidji, of all places, believe it or not.
Nice.
But that went to Brainerd, which went to Green Bay. And Green Bay, it is now part of everybody's arsenal. In our tournament that we just had on Saginaw Bay, nobody had ever been out there and competed doing power fishing techniques. And it didn't dominate this last tournament, but I bet you probably 40% of the top 10 we're using those types of techniques. So it's really an interesting thing, and that's where tournament fishing influences what we do on a day-to-day basis as walleye fishermen. You want to get better at walleye fishing, you want to be more consistent as an angler, pay attention to what these guys are doing in tournaments. And that's true for bass, walleye, panfish, all of it, because the lakes don't stay the same, they evolve and change. Patterns evolve and change. Species evolves and changes, and if we don't evolve and change as fishermen, we're not going to catch fish. You got to stay on top of it.
Hey, Chips, Strewman here, Steve Strusinski. Thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsman. A couple of questions. Number one, we're talking to Chip Lear with the National Walleye Tour, and there'll be a Devil's Lake this weekend, then September 5th through the 7th on Lake of the Woods for another big tournament up there. I was watching some videos that you guys have on your website on the fishingthewildside.net, I think it was, and fishing is like, I'm the armchair quarterback. I'm the kind of guy who has three fishing rods, and they all have split shots and Little Joe spinners. That's all I got. You guys have, the fishing game can be so complicated. Now, one thing I saw on one of your videos was something that I never heard of, and I saw the video of it, which is really cool, something called the slip stick sinker. And it looked like it was impossible for that thing to get hooked in the weeds. It made a lot of sense for me. Is that a real popular piece of fishing today?
Yeah, I mean, is that particular item important? Is that what
you're getting at? Yeah, I've never seen it, never heard of it before.
Yeah, it's a different type of sinker. We've seen bottom bouncers. That one just happens to be solid stainless steel. So what it does is that it really transmits the bottom content, so you can figure out what's sand and mud just that much easier when you're trolling, because you got to know what. You know what kind of bottom you're on to figure out where the fish live, and that's all part of it. You know what? Fishing is simple. We overcomplicate it. You're 100% absolutely correct. Just simplify, 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 and the best tournament anglers out there are going to tell you the same thing. When they get confused and things start going bad, they just go back to the simplest form, and that's going to end up putting fish in the boat, because you end up doing what you're confident in, you end up doing what you're good at, and that's what makes Devil's Lake such an awesome place that we're going to be next Thursday and Friday. You get to National Walleye Tour's Facebook page, their website, all that. We'll have coverage all week long on this week's tournament and the anglers that are going along with it.
Go ahead, Boomer.
Well, there he is, Chip. We're running out of time. Really appreciate you joining us on the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Country. Safe travels to the beautiful Devil's Lake destination, and good luck out there, and hope to see you soon.
Thanks for having us on, guys. Have a great day.
You bet. Thanks for Chip Lear with the National Walleye Tour. Hannah Brandt, the gold medal winning, one of the gold medal winning ladies of the United States Olympic hockey team. And it's just been a hell of a show.
Yeah, and a special thanks to our sponsors, Alumacraft Boats, Lakes Trading Company, right, and Famous Devil's Lake, North Dakota. And one thing to all our listeners, get outdoors.